there's a vending machine.
Senate E-12, Budget Division will reconvene. It's 2:52 p.m.
Yep.
And today's date is April 16th, 2015. Thank you, Senator Johnson. And before us is Senator Peterson's amendment as amended. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, I would like to withdraw the A-22 amendment.
Senator Peterson withdraws the amendment. Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Hoffner, we have an E-45 that's been distributed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A-45 amendment lays out that compensatory projects are still into full effect and sunset after 2 years, with the revision that we look at it through the Department of Education, and then it's fully funded as it was, as we first originally projected, exactly what Senator Peterson had proposed right away. So with that, I would move the A-45 amendment.
Okay, and want to thank you, Senator Peterson and others, for the discussion on this. And Madam Chair, I believe there may be a couple of comments before we vote.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say thank you as well. Appreciate it.
And Mr. Chair?
Or Madam Chair.
No. Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Dad, you know, I did that 10 years ago, and Jim Metzen was chairing, and Linda Scheid was sitting next to me, and I said, kept saying Madam Chair, and he finally looked at me because he was the chair, and he said, do I look like a girl to you? And I never forgot that. So, Madam Chair, I apologize for saying Mr. Chair.
Understandable.
Again, I want to thank you, Senator Wigger, for sitting down and having a full-on conversation about what this means even in the future, because we know that compensatory education is important to our local school districts, and I appreciate you listening and working, as well as Senator Johnson and Senator Bonoff. So thank you.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Wigger, so much for including this. It's just a coincidence that the folks from Robbinsdale were in my office just a half hour ago. I shared this news with them. They were so excited. They explained to me that the way they use this money is kids who are not proficient in math get two blocks of math back-to-back. Kids who aren't proficient in reading get two blocks back-to-back. And they believe that that is the best way to reduce remediation in post-secondary. And so we sure have their strong support. And I'm hopeful that by the time the sun sets, we'll have actually incorporated all of this into the way each and every school district operates, and that we fund that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Jensen, and then Senator Dahl.
Excuse me. Madam Chair, I don't. Where is the money?
Madam Chair, the readiness dollars, $5
million. Oh, like it was. Okay.
Yes. We don't fund the tails on this, but.
Correct.
We do during the biennium.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Judging by the kind words to the chair, I assume, Mr. Chair, you're supporting of the amendment.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, I'm not. No.
If there's no other discussion, all those in favor of adoption of the A-45 amendments signify by saying aye.
Right.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted.
Madam Chair, I have a technical amendment from nonpartisan staff, the A-41, which is before you. I'll ask Mr. Wilms to describe it, and then remind others that if you have an amendment that's you'd like, it can be distributed now to help expedite things. But Mr. Wilms, or
Mr. Wilms,
Madam Chair and committee members, before you, the A-41 amendment. This basically makes clear what is being tracked and shown in the spreadsheet. It affects the fiscal year 15 appropriation and brings. And amends that to incorporate the additional teacher development and evaluation revenue for cooperatives. It makes a small adjustment to the appropriation currently in there to track the extra $2,000 in fiscal year 16.
Okay. There's no questions.
If there are any questions, if not, All those in favor of adoption of the A41 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted. And then we have an A17 amendment. Does that suit you?
I don't think
I know, I do too.
Oh, maybe that was an old one.
Okay.
That was from.
Yeah, I guess, Madam Chair, we're waiting for amendments that authors would like. I know, Senator Kiffmeyer, you have some.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of looking here. The ACT amendment that I offered this morning and pulled back, but I don't know if it needs to be redistributed. So I think
if we could find out the number.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I was looking through my folder. I
we'll ask staff.
I think it's like A5 or A8, something like that. But I do have a different one, Mr. Chair.
Well, yes. Let's offer the new one. And
okay. This is the A42.
And that'll be distributed. And Senator Kiffmeyer, may staff pass out any remaining amendments that you have as well? Or we can go through a walk for each time if you'd like, but
no, Mr. Chair. Okay. I'm as eager to have it expedited too. I was looking for my previous copy of, and any of my amendments that staff may have can be distributed. That would be good.
Okay.
That way.
So we have the A42. Is that Senator Kiffmeyer?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, members, this is in regards to concurrent enrollment. Previously, the committee heard the bill that had to do with a survey, a study, and then it went on to higher ed. And when it was in higher education, working with OHE and MDE, et cetera, MNSCU, this is the language that came up as a resolution. And so MDE, OHE, and others support it. Senator Bonhoeff. We've showed this to her. We did. It was sent on to state government finance because of a fiscal note, because it included legislators. But removing the legislators from the work group enabled it to not have a fiscal note. And if you notice in the very last section on line 2.18, they are absorbing the costs of the work group and preparing the report. So, Mr. Chairman, I ask for your support for A42.
Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Kiffmeyer, thank you for bringing this forward. I had folks from one of the universities, one of the MNSCU universities, in my office today asking for this very thing because of the fact that they're in this process, it has been revealed that the quality of all concurrent enrollment is not equal, and we know the quality at the University of Minnesota concurrent enrollment has, they're accredited, and other institutions are accredited, but not all of them are accredited. And so by doing this work group, I think we have the opportunity to ensure consistent high-quality standards with concurrent enrollment, and I think it's really important.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I want to applaud everyone for their efforts, and I, you know, for the record, it's been acknowledged the department is good with this, and you know, I think we can proceed to vote absent any additional input.
If there are no more questions or comments, all those in favor of the adoption of A42.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, I believe Mr. Dosha is standing up. Mr.
Uni, did you have a comment?
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Adosh Uni, Department of Education. We did work very closely with Senator Kiffmeyer to get it in the form that's okay with OHE and the department in terms of the substance of what the working group would do and the manageability and really getting to the intent of what the author wanted. I think the only thing that we would just express some concern with, and I think this has been touched upon earlier, is the requirement that the department absorb the cost of the working group. I would just say that this does carry some costs with it, that the department would just advocate for some assistance from from the bill in terms of appropriations.
Madam Chair, I'd suggest that we have a $5,000 rider language for fiscal 16. There'll be a lot of different reports, but and we do have that available within Target and to help move this along.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senators, thank you very much.
And is that necessary to be an amendment to this amendment? Is that it?
Incorporated.
That's incorporated in the amendment.
Yes.
So everyone understands that's what will be incorporated in the amendment. Any other questions that members might have? If not, all those in favor of A42 being adopted, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Amendment adopted. Then we have an A40, Senator Kiffmeyer, or is it? And again, is that a different?
Well, I do, Madam Chair. If there, this is going to be a discussion amendment, Mr. Chair, and I would rather make it rather quick. But I actually have, this is an equity region amendment, but I have a different one that I would rather have a discussion on. So
okay.
For the
Senator
sake of that,
Kiffmeyer, what
I will
number?
Set it aside, and I would prefer to go to the other one as far as
ACT.
Pardon?
The ACT?
Mr. Chairman, the ACT staff met me just outside the door as I was walking in. We don't quite have the language change ready to be comfortable with it yet, though we have some agreement. But and I have to get the number of the other.
It's like Kevin wants to say something.
I'm sure there are other amendments, Mr. Chair. But
you have a portfolio here?
No, not me, Mr.
Take
Chair.
Take your time, Senator Kiffmeyer. We'll
no,
get
Mr.
to
Chair.
It. Senator Dames, do you have an amendment?
Yes,
I actually
Madam
do.
Chair.
Now, here it is.
37 amendment.
A37?
That's been passed out.
I finally found it now, the A8.
I believe they're going to get it now. And if there's any other amendments that authors would... Senator Pratt?
Mr. Chair, I would just request the A24 and A39 be distributed as well.
A24 and A39 may be distributed.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Hoffman?
I also have another one that to ask to be distributed as well. I think Mr. Bjorn is Arneson is... is working on getting that.
I think we can take some time here and just march through this. Mr. Arneson has something.
Are we ready then for Senator Dames?
Do we have the 37 amendment? I don't. Okay. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A37 amendment, what this does is it takes the governor's requested 1.8% to be added into the base for the different departments. And it takes that 1.8% away from the base and adds it to the career and technology levy. As we heard yesterday, we had an awful lot of testifiers come to the table and were gracious in thanking us for what we had done, but then they spoke about the issues they were having with the lack of increase in the formula. So this would take some of that money, and I think it's on kind of irresponsible for us to be putting 1.8% into the department and only giving the school districts that actually are the ones that have hands-on with the children, giving them 1%. Education is about teaching the children, and when we listened yesterday, we had a lot of people come to the table and talk about how they were going to either have to eliminate some programs and lay off some teachers and things like that. I realize this is a small amount. It's under $1 million a year, but, you know, if $1 million a year saves a few teachers their jobs or saves a couple of programs in a school, it's probably worth doing. So with that, I would appreciate if people would support the A1 amendment and the A37 amendment, and I would request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested.
Madam Chair, and, you know, we've done a lot to further investment for career vocational education. I believe this would provide additional funds by taking it out of the Department of Education's budget and close to $1 million, $800,000. I would ask Senator Stump if he'd like to comment.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would think that the department would need some staff to make a career in technical program in the state to operate. I mean, there's things that have to be taken care of at the department. You know, it's hard to just look at this sheet and say what kind of an impact are you going to have if you take $1 million out of a program. And we could, I suppose, ask the department what this does to their career and technical efforts to maybe that'd be the clearest way, because I really don't know what
Mr. Uni.
Their total program is. And
Madam Chair, Senator Stumpf, thank you for the question. We would obviously have to put this amendment back to our career and tech department and see what would happen. But we did a survey last year of career and technical education around the state, and we did need resources to fulfill that. I mean, it was a statewide survey, and that was a $100,000 appropriation, and it was a significant amount of staff time to complete that. And so accomplishing a program or a division dedicated to improving CTE around the state would suffer with a detraction from the budget to the department.
Thank you, Mr. Uni. Senator Dames.
Well, I just would like to respond in this way, that as I understand, a lot of this 1.8% is going to be probably going to add some staff. And every time we see a bill here, there's always a piece of an FTE or there's more funds so that the department has the money. So I'm not so sure that that I'm going to agree with what testimony we just heard there. I think, again, it's usually we're giving money. Every time we want to do something, we're putting money into the departments to handle that. And this has taken the money, that 1.8 away that they were requested, and actually putting it into career and technology, not taking it out. So with that said, I still would ask for support for this.
And any Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support the Dames Amendment. This is an automatic increase to the bureaucracy. This is not money targeted to any program. It's not going to help kids. It's not going into the classroom. Instead, it's going into administrative overhead, who, whether we're talking about IT certification, whether we're talking about career and technical, a department that has requested a 30% increase in their overall budget can't find any room to do these types of programs. And so this isn't about this. This is just about growing the agency, this 1.8%. And yet, even with this 1.8%, they continue to say they need more, they need more, they need more. We should be encouraging the agency to do more with less, and we should be looking for them to find opportunities to become more efficient. And so I would support the Dames Amendment, and let's focus our resources, as we heard testifiers say the other day, on education, kids, and in the classroom.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the members around the table, I want to make those in the audience, I want to make it clear, we're not even doing what Senator Pratt just said. We're not asking them to do more with less. They're not getting less. They're just not getting more. What Senator Dames is doing is eliminating the autopilot increase in the budget and using that, putting it directly down to teach kids skills that they need. Rather than putting extra money into middle management, Senator James is putting it out on the front line where it needs to go, where we get the product, where we get the good education done, and this will help get a better education. It's really just a question of what are the priorities and reprioritizing those funds, and I think he has a good approach.
If there are no other comments or questions, we have a roll call. Ms. Snyder?
Senator Wieger.
No.
Senator Botta.
No.
Senator Chamberlain. Senator Claussen.
No.
Senator Dahl.
No.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Housley.
Yes.
Senator Jensen.
No.
Senator Johnson.
No.
Senator Kent. Senator Kiffmeyer. Senator Nienau.
Yes.
Senator Peterson.
Yes.
Senator Pratt?
Yes.
Senator Saxog? Senator Stumpf?
No.
Senator Torres-Ray?
No.
Senator Weber? Senator Wicklund?
No.
Senator Kiffmeyer?
Yes.
Is that the first amendment?
No, second or third. I think there's about three left.
Yeah, it can only go both ways.
Six and yes, 10 no, so the motion fails.
We have an 824.
824 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the 824 amendment. It's been distributed. The 824 amendment is a bill that Senator Clausen and I worked on, and it really puts accountability back into the spending and programs that we've put forth in the last two biennium. What this says is that as a student graduates from third grade to fourth grade, as they move from learning to read to reading to learn, that if that child is not proficient, that they should be held back and make sure and give us an opportunity to make sure they're proficient. If they're still struggling, because we know it's not always about the schools, it's not always about the teachers. Sometimes we have kids that just mature at different rates, and they need that extra time to catch up. We've also carved out special exemptions so that if a parent believes this isn't the right course of action for their student, they can choose to move their student on. We've got language in here to accommodate those on special education plans and those with limited English proficiency. I think it's a good bill. Fiscal note has been requested, and it would be ready for us by the time it got to finance. So I would encourage members to support it.
Well, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Pratt, and for members that have been around a while, they would know, actually, I had a measure very close to this many years ago. And saying that the third grade, that's a key time if you are not at reading proficiency, and it's about the tough love, do you hold them back? I do have language in the policy bill that asks districts to address social promotion. Mm-hmm. And this was triggered in part by the discussion in Duluth. And so we do have that in our policy bill. Was not enough time this session. It was a late introduction, and we've talked, you know, Senator mm-hmm. Pratt, and we'll hear this during the interim. I know there's a lot of people that would like to talk about it. There's a fiscal note, yes, and it probably would be ready in time, but I think we need to, you know, have a great deal more discussion in respect to those that would need to weigh in. It's true that I have sponsored and am actually a co-author on this. One provision that's different in this than what I had before, though, is if a district wanted us to hold a student back, the parent actually could trump that and usurp, you know, what the local school board or the employee said, so they could actually advance a student even though they're not ready. And so, there's a number of questions. So, I want to let you know I understand where you're coming from. That's mm-hmm. why I had the social promotion. I had former Superintendent Pat Harvey in here talking about this over a decade ago, but would ask that we consider it during the interim.
Any other questions, comments?
I'm sure.
If not, Senator Pratt.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rieger. What I'll do then is withdraw the A24, and why don't we instead look at the A39,
okay,
which has, I believe, already been distributed. And what the A39 would do would say that by February 1 of 2017 and annually thereafter, the Department of Education shall report to this committee on the effectiveness of these programs to third grade mm-hmm. literacy, while we continue to work out what the right course of action is for social promotion. But we should have some accountability to the investments that we've made. We've invested a lot into all-day kindergarten. We've invested a lot in the Head Start. There's a proposal to invest in universal pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds, and all of it targeted to third-grade literacy. And so I think the department should be able to, should have the data on this and should be able to report on this to the legislature fairly easily.
Madam Chair, I support the amendment.
Any other comments? Senator Torsfrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also support this amendment. I believe very strongly that we have to do a better job of coordinating the efforts for investing in early childhood education. I have been a strong supporter, but I do feel that there is a gap in measuring the accountability and measuring the progress and how they connect into the progress that we want to make in elementary, middle, and high school, and I think it's absolutely necessary that we put these measures in place.
Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would the author, Senator Pratt, take into consideration some further breakdown of that data that we look at individual Head Start as opposed to just lumping it together? We look at all-day kindergarten data separate from Head Start so we can do some comparison and also some breakdown by ethnicity and further breakdown the data.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Clausen, I think those are great ideas. What I'd like to do is, if possible, then let's move the amendment and maybe we can work on a floor amendment that would better specify what we expect.
Very good.
With that, I will assume we're ready to vote on the A39 amendment from Senator Pratt. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion amendment adopted. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I have the A44 amendment in front of you. And Madam Chair and members, this amendment is limited to the 15 school. This was a bill that was heard in front of us and passed unanimously on. It's about limited to the 15 school districts in Northeast Minnesota who are participating in the Education Innovation Partnership. This amendment expands the ability of these schools to partner and increase the educational opportunities and curriculum by utilizing the technology and telepresence within their area. And this amendment limits the fiscal impact by making the partnership ineligible for consolidation aid or facility grants and delays the project till fiscal year 2020. And I believe Mr. Melcher said it looks pretty good. He's shaking his head. Yes, Madam Chair. So with that, I would ask you to support the A44 amendment.
Chair Wiegand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good work. Support.
Thank you, Senator Wiegand.
There are no other comments. All those in favor of adoption of the A44 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted. Senator
Kiffmeyer? Sorry, yes.
Probably the A40.
Unless you have another amendment ready to go, I have mine.
Number?
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. All right, Mr. Chairman, this is the A5.
A5.
That's the ACT administration.
I think that one will have to be distributed. It'll be ready in a minute.
I thought it was.
She could speak to it.
Go ahead and tell us what it's about, Senator Kiffmeyer.
I think I need the members to have it in front of them.
Okay.
There's going to be an oral amendment.
It was
possible.
Distributed this morning, considered this morning, so it should be in members' materials.
Okay.
There's a presumption that because it was distributed this morning, we still have it, and that may not be the case with all the rustling, but we recall the discussion, I believe.
Maybe I
could ask what discussion has occurred since then, and I believe you're looking at something that would make it optional or be considered, and you've discussed this with the department. Just as some foundation.
Give us some more background, Senator Kiffmeyer, and we apologize for not having it here.
That's okay, Madam Chair. My apology to you at not.
Here, I found mine.
What number was it?
It's A5. It was ACT administration to non-public schools.
Students,
I should say, non-public schools.
Okay.
So I think that might help refresh memories because it was a good discussion this morning. And we have Mr. McHenry is at the table. I don't know, do you wish to have him speak right now, or would you rather make comments?
That would be fine, Madam Chair.
Mr. McHenry.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members, again, Kevin McHenry, Assistant Commissioner of the Department of Education. We did follow up with ACT and our IT division during the break, and followed up with Senator Kiffmeyer, and came up with there were two options to get to what she was trying to accomplish. First option, as we discussed before, is that we didn't have a current mechanism to actually take the payment from the individual family and actually include that in our overall budget. In order to actually make the update, there'd be a one-time IT cost of updating our system, which would cost $70,000. And so we talked about what other options might be available. And I think what in the conversation with Senator Kiffmeyer is that we don't know if that's necessarily the best route to go. We don't know how many students would actually want to go through this route. Sometimes the non-public students don't necessarily want to go to the public school, because then all that information does stay at the specific school, and sometimes that's not what the intent of the student and family is. So we did talk about an idea that what Michigan does, they actually just pay the cost. We talked this morning about the non-public pupil aid account. So I think what Senator Kiffmeyer is looking at doing is establishing an account that would be available from what I believe up to 100 students. And so that automatically would just pay the costs. And then the parents would have to notify the department and the school district that they would be taking the test in that school. Now, this would be the districts actually having to accommodate the students who aren't in their district. So, that could be an issue with districts. We're not necessarily certain about that. But this would give the option, a low-cost option, of seeing how many families or students would be interested in taking this avenue at the individual school. It would be paid for. And as we continue to develop technology and determine the demand, then we could look at different avenues in moving forward. So with that, I hope I covered the conversation I had with Senator Kiffmeyer and would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. McHenry did a very good job summarizing a more lengthy process. And, Mr. Chair, we have the actual language of the A5 in front of you. Mm-hmm. This is, as Mr. McHenry said, we have an agreed-to way of doing this, but this language does not reflect that methodology. So I tried to get some language written, but I also was uncertain. I just wanted to be sure we had that. I'm sure that staff can come up with language that goes along with what has been talked about here, but probably the bigger thing is the non-public pupil aid account would need $5,000 in order to accommodate this for the department.
So the non-pupil...
Non-public pupil aid account.
Okay. And Madam Chair, I would ask Mr. Wilms or Arneson to suggest language that will reflect a possible amendment to the A5, which I believe would be friendly to accomplish your intent.
Mr. Arneson, are you able to do that at this time, or Wilms?
I do have some notes if that's helpful to them.
Okay. And we may have Mr. McHenry include you here, too.
Right now, we're going to try to drop some.
Madam Chair, while you're
Senator
doing this,
Clausen.
can I just ask a question of Mr. McHenry, please?
Yes, Senator Clausen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Around the state, are we giving the ACT to public school students electronically, or is it paper, pencil, or both?
Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, Senator Clausen, right now the option is a paper option. ACT is looking to go to an online option.
Thank you. And Mr. McHenry, I heard you say there was a cost to the department potentially for doing this, and what was that again?
Madam Chair,
Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, Senator Clausen, so in order to do this, rather than establishing or updating the IT costs, what this would do is just would establish an account specifically for non-public students, specifically for the ACT. And I think what Senator Kiffmeyer did was capped it at 100, students for the first year or first biennium, so we could understand how many would actually want to do this. So it would just be simply $100 times the cost of the ACT, and by administering it statewide, it's $50.50 per student.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair and members, I think perhaps the most straightforward way to do this would be to kind of split the concept in two, the deal with the funding part of it, and that might be accomplished through a rider on the agency budget. To the effect, you know, $5,000 of this amount is reserved for the costs of ACT administration to non-public pupil students, not to exceed 100 non-public pupil students. Something to that nature. And then the other language part, and I'm working off of Senator Kiffmeyer's marked up version here. So on the A5 amendment, line 1.7, delete shall implement a system for, let me back up. Delete, implement a system for, delete allowing and insert allow up to 100. Line 1.8, delete the system must and the trailing colon. And I understand from Senator Kiffmeyer's notes that she wishes to preserve the subclauses on line 10, 11, 10 and 11. The remainder of that paragraph would remain intact, and paragraph B would be deleted. And paragraph B in the original amendment is the part about charging for administrative costs. So in essence, the effect of the amendment would be allowing the department to essentially pay out of this account for the cost of up to 100 non-public pupil students to take in grades 11 and 12 to take the ACT exam on state testing dates. It would allow the students to choose which testing site to take the exam. It would allow the students to register 45 days before the exam's administration, and it would require the department to notify the school district of the number of non-public students registered to take the exam at its testing sites. And if that's consistent with the conversation, perhaps in our final motion, you would permit our staff to sort of make whatever amendments might be necessary beyond that.
Okay. All right. Mr. Arneson, is line 112, is that deleted?
Mm-hmm. I understand that it is to be deleted from Senator Kiffmeyer's notes here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And lines 15 and 16 also.
Madam Chair, correct.
Okay. Mr. McHenry, do you think this will be suitable for your needs?
Madam Chair, I think the question would be more if it's suitable for Senator Kiffmeyer's needs, but I think this does address the conversation that we had. It got to the intent of what she was trying to accomplish. Again, the one piece I would say is that it might be helpful to hear from schools how they, if they would have any issues with this at all. But we're talking about just 100 students a year, so we don't think it should be that substantial. But again, we're not in the position to speak on behalf of any school districts or specific schools.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
I believe that what Mr. Arneson did and what Mr. McHenry said is correct. And probably the biggest thing is that the individuals that want most of all the access to the testing sites to take the exam, because of the current situation, they were being kept out from that. That it was that access to those testing sites was most important. They were willing to pay. But the problem is the department's contract did not allow, and they had no methodology for payment. So they were willing, But so this is the most important part of it that gives them access to that, and it also gives us time for us to see before a more expensive route. So if you are willing, Mr. Chair, I am I'm okay with the language of this amendment at this time.
And with the yes. with the suggestion that if staff needs to amend it a bit, it would be all right.
Yes.
Yes, Madam Chair. I support as noted.
Okay.
Any other questions on this amendment? All those in favor of the A5 amendment signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Aye. Aye. Yes.
Aye, I should say. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to staff and to the department.
Are there any other amendments?
Yes, I do have one other. That is the A8 amendment.
I didn't even go 3 for 3, so.
Well, I.
Oh yeah, that's not that one.
A10 or A40?
The A8 amendment. We're good. That one is out.
She's on the wall.
Okay.
Nope.
The A8 amendment is a bill, Senate File 604. And so, members, this bill was disappointing that we were not able to have a hearing on this bill, even though we have several authors, both bipartisanly authors, Senator. And so, Mr. Chair, this particular bill has to do with affecting the disparity aid for those who are at the bottom 20% of the per pupil. And also who have a low property tax valuation. And as you know, Madam Chair, that we have a situation here in the state of Minnesota that about the highest per pupil is around $14,000 per pupil. And I have a school district, St. Michael Albertville, that is the very bottom, the very lowest. And every time we do a percent increase, because 1% of a larger number is a larger amount, so the highest per pupil aid schools always end up with more every single year, plus those categoricals. So the approach was, as that gap is just getting wider and wider all the time, and we don't see any foreseeable change in the future. And so this disparity aid bill is one that takes that bottom 20% that also have low property tax wealth and gives them a bump in the disparity aid. And, Mr. Chairman, I, with staff here, I can also... I have some handouts on the effect to individual school districts as well. And I also have a bar graph handout that also shows, illustrates what I've been saying about the difference between the lowest and the highest. You can imagine that for a district that gets $7,251 per pupil, taking a look for those parents to take a look at other school districts that get $13,944 under current law. It is really something that, and as they see in the future, that, again, that difference, that inequity, just continuing to grow. Matter of fact, Mr. Chair, there actually was a court case in regards to this that was also directive, and for a while it did accomplish some good. But, however, it didn't last long, and once again we've gone back to the pattern of doing this. So this disparity aid bill is currently, by the way, stuck in the Finance Committee and was not allowed to come to this division so that Senator Wieger, the chair of the committee, would be able to choose to give this bill a hearing. So I'm bringing forth this amendment at this time because at least it enables me through this amendment process to have a hearing on behalf of my school district. I represent them. And all three of the school districts in my area are part of that bottom 20%. We did have other types of bills, Metro Equity Region, the school office. We've made many efforts, but in fact, this one, and if you'll notice, in this particular bill, it's a little bit broader, but it approaches that bottom 20%. So we have a variety of senators, Chamberlain, Brown, Lori, Senator Eakin, Thompson, Senjum, Senator Schmidt is a co-author, Senator Goodwin. So it goes down the line, Senator Dahl. These are people that this particular disparity aid bill would be very, very helpful to. And I think it's a fundamental fact here that when you take a look at that big range of difference, and Mr. Chairman, in particular, in our district, one of the things that we do, which is a benefit maybe to Anoka Hennepin or some of the others, but our students miss opportunities, especially in the higher grades, where we are not able to offer some of the international baccalaureate, the concurrent enrollment, we do not have. Because our school districts are so low on this per pupil funding. And in addition, our school districts' taxpayers have stepped up. For them, in order to generate $1 as compared to some of these other districts that have a high property tax base, we have to hit our property taxpayers very hard to generate the same amount of money. So in regards to this, there are in particular opportunities. Now, many times our students at the junior-senior level then will open enroll into a neighboring district that does have IB or concurrent enrollment or other opportunities, other languages and other things. And our local school district then missed the leadership. As many of you have talked about, when you have concurrent enrollment, one of the things that hurt when they went outside the school district for PSEO was you lost their leadership. You lost their ability to be a part of the school population that they grew up with. And so, but because of those missed opportunities, they're many times going ahead and open enrolling into other school districts. And so in the Elk River School District, you might have maybe one or two National Merit Honor Merit Society graduates, but the reason why is most of the others have opened and rolled out somewhere else. So, Mr. Chairman, I know that we're in a short time frame. You've been very generous to let me talk this long and bring forward this amendment. I would really appreciate a vote of support. On the fiscal note, this is a bill that would cost approximately $10 million in each year, total of $20 million over the biennium. I think that's a little above your target,
$20 million.
Mr. Chair. Right. But at least I have been able to represent my district and have a discussion about this, an opportunity for them to know that I've represented them and have brought their concerns to this important committee.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Are we ready to vote on this issue?
Well,
respectfully, we don't have the additional $20 million in capacity. I guess, we could look at other ways of doing that, but the fact is, we don't have this included at this point, and we have a number of other programs. Does it meet all of your expectations? It didn't. But, we'll continue to address it, and we talked earlier about ways to do that. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I really appreciate that, and I really would hope that that the process here that has probably been most disappointing is to have it bottled up in Finance Committee and not even coming to this division for our own committee to have a hearing on it. And I think that is not a good kind of process for us to be in and to put our members in that. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I will pull the amendment. I know $20 million is a lot of money, and I don't think that I had an expectation of it, and I would prefer not to have or put anybody in the position of voting no on something to me that is very, very important.
Thank you.
I'll withdraw it.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Are there any other amendments to be brought forward?
I think we're done.
If not,
Senator
Pratt.
Well, thank you. I don't know, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, I don't know who's in charge still. I just wanted to make a quick closing comment in that I share the disappointment of those who testified yesterday. I wish we could do more for our students, but we're increasing spending over $450 per student, and the best we can afford is 1% on the formula. Why? Well, we heard Senator Dames talk about the fact that we've got a 1.8% inflator built into the Department of Education that's not going into the classroom, that's not going to benefit students, that's not going to teacher pay, that's just going to grow the bureaucracy. We've got all-day kindergarten that we passed last biennium that's raised costs above the original expectations. And for everyone who pushed for all-day kindergarten should know that this program is part of the reason why we're having a hard time getting the money for increase on the formula. Now, I'm sure the DFL talking point is going to be that Republicans are against all-day kindergarten, and that's false. I personally support all-day kindergarten. I think it's a good program. I think it's been successful. I supported it when I was on the school board and actively supported it. But I just felt it was reckless for us to start a new statewide commitment when we had underfunded the basic needs of our students for over a decade. The increased expense for this all-day K comes to about 2% on the formula. So now we're pushing universal pre-K. And this program might be successful. We've got now going to have a report that hopefully will show that it is. But there are many private providers in our districts that are giving quality pre-kindergarten education. And we've heard from them that they will be hurt. They will go out of business if this proposal goes forward. Now, I still haven't quite figured out, Mr. Chair, how we've kept 85% of the recommendations out of the governor's budget, but only can fund it with 20% of his request. But I'm sure it'll work out. Know that the Star Tribune also recently ran an article that said our pre-K strategy here in Minnesota is working, that we have quality pre-K education overall, and yet we need to pull this into the public schools, I guess. So understand this. This bill pre-commits $700 million in spending next biennium. And that's $700 million that won't be available for formula increases next time we get together for a budget. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Any other comments from members? Questions?
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, before I move Senate File 811 as amended, I want to thank everyone for their thoughtful participation. We've put together a bill that I'm very proud of, and it may not have every single item that you may have wanted, but I believe each of you has something that you've been a part of it. Ultimately, this process, we come together, and once this is conferenced, I would hope that we're all together as well. We do have slightly over 2% on the formula, the 1 and 1, when you add. The expectation is that there will be additional funds. Can I promise that? No, but that's what we'll continue to work on. And I believe you all know that there's a great deal of groundswell support out there to do that. I was not at this point willing to trade off the formula for some of the very important priorities that we've also heard in testimony. School buildings are in disrepair. We need to do something. The House didn't recommend anything in that area. The governor did not recommend anything additional. The Senate did, and I thank Senator Dahl and the others that have put together an article with about $50 million that makes reform. We have a disparity of over $300 per student with the current system, and this will put that reform in place. I believe this was the number one priority of the Minnesota Rural Education Association. Schools for Equity and Education spoke for it. We heard again from AMSD echoing the support and others. And I'm very pleased that we are, because this is something that also has to subsidize the general fund when you do not have enough for school building repairs. And it also, it's an energy efficiency argument. So I'm very pleased that we have the nearly $50 million for that provision. Additional funds for telecommunication access as well. The importance of that pointed out to us by the Minnesota School Boards Association and others when we started session. The school readiness, and mention was made of all-day kindergarten. Almost 100% of the Minnesotans for the kindergarten, they're on board, they're participating. And you could have perhaps made the argument that we stay at half day because we weren't providing enough for the system 1 through 12 and a half day. But sometime, you know, you move ahead. People were basing decisions as to where they were going to live based on the zip code of whether it was provided in a district. This meant thousands of dollars to many of the parents that really appreciated having that opportunity available for them. And somehow it worked. Is it additional funds? Yes, it is. I believe it was the prudent investment to make. And if you disagree, I understand that, respect that point of view, but I believe we were right. I feel very convinced we were right to go that direction, just as I do on early learning for the additional investment. This is not the full-scale UPK-4. As you know, as you may have read in just recent feedback on that, this is something for the readiness dollars, the emphasis on readiness, that school districts in testimony said, we like that flexibility. You heard that from the School Boards Association, from AMSD and others. Yes, they want money and formula, but if you're going to put additional funds in early education, the readiness, the flexibility, the scale back, that is a win-win situation. There's opportunity in with readiness dollars, as there has been. This has been in place for many years, to work with multiple providers in doing that. It's a local decision as to how that's going to be done. And again, it's not mandated that all school districts would do it. I strongly support that. I'm very pleased that it's a part of it. The teacher development quality on the CUBE Comp. Senator Stump, I know you're elated that finally we're going to make some additional progress there. This happens by putting it in the bill. You can't, if you just say additional formula without some additional seed corn dollars, it won't happen, and just as it wouldn't happen on the facilities. I'm very pleased, and we'll make it available for intermediates, for co-ops as well. For student support services, the $8 million. It used to be, the argument was, well, in the formula, we do that, and you'll hire more counselors, et cetera. Well, what's happened? We've near the bottom in the country on school counselors in terms of what that ratio is. We need to provide that additional incentive. And so, Senator Kent and others, in your efforts for, counselor social workers, the nurses, school psychologists, chemical dependency counselors, there's a need for that. And I'm very pleased that we do have funds for that. College in the schools. More money is needed to do that. And if it's in the formula in and of itself, it wasn't going to happen. to the extent that Senator Claussen has in that bill. And Senator Pratt, you've worked with them. I know there's been visits, and I'm very pleased with that. This is going to make college much more affordable, right at your high school, taking that high-level rigorous course and getting that academic credit. That saves money. It can save not only hundreds, thousands of dollars for students in the affordability of education. So that additional infusion for college and the schools is very important. The free breakfast, Senator Johnson, we have it for the first grade, but looking at, we talked about the vision screening, but a student that is prepared just to learn, and whether it's an empty stomach or needing to get the vision corrected, these are all a part of students being ready to learn. Vocational education, wonderful additional funds that we have in a bipartisan basis. And Senator Sumpf, I don't know how much you've worked on it. I could go around the table for, Senator Jensen, Senator Dames, Senator Weber. We have proposals in here for the cooperative that's going to be put in southwest Minnesota. I look so forward to that happening. Additional provisions as well. And they've been vetted. We've talked about it. And I believe it all adds ultimately to creating, preparing the world's best workforce. So, members, I appreciate each of your thoughts, your concerns. We'll continue to work on different aspects of this. It will go to Finance Committee next Wednesday, then to Tax Committee Thursday, probably to the floor the 29th is what I hear, and then ultimately to conference, where we'll have a very robust discussion. But we're all passionate about the best education possible for students, and I respect the diversity of viewpoints, and hopefully we'll all come together in the end. I'm very optimistic that we will. Finally, I want to thank staff for an incredibly great job. They've been pretty much working around the clock, putting together our amendments, doing the runs, etc. And you're all here, and I'd like us to applaud. You're great, and we'll look forward to the continued revisions, the inevitable revisions as we proceed, but we salute your professionalism. The nonpartisan staff, the partisan staff, both sides, I know you're all committed, and we appreciate that. So, members, I appreciate everyone's input again, and I would renew my motion that Senate File 811, as amended, be recommended to pass, and we would adopt, and included in that, we would adopt the various spreadsheets, and also there would be the direction that for technical corrections, et cetera, they would be included within that motion. And I would so move.
And re-referred to
finance.
With that, any questions, comments? I think we've had good comments. A good way to end this meeting. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No. No.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and to members. And we will have the next meeting will be for confirmations, and we'll have that date posted soon. The committee is adjourned.